Well, hello everybody, and good morning. Coming from Las Vegas, Nevada, and for those on the East Coast, good afternoon. Andrew Fetter, when pigs are flying, I see a couple of maybe out there. Anyway, I've in my layout on my show for today, I had talked about, put out that I was going to talk about extraterrestrials and religion, which I definitely will do in the second half of the hour. But the first I was want to rant and rave and do my own hellish talk here is hypocrisy. Now, you know, I was wondering, what, let's get down to it, even the dictionary, before I start talking about hypocrisy within politics and religion. What does it say in the dictionary? And I look in the dictionary here, and it says, practice or professing beliefs, feelings, or virtues that one does not hold or possess with sincerity. Well, I just want you all keep that in mind. Hypocrisy. But before I get into hypocrisy, I know I'm going to jump off a little quick tangent here. I want to talk about somebody who actually very much influenced my thoughts as far as influencing me to write. And for those who don't know, I'm the author of When the Angels Have Risen. I've written many editorials and op-eds and short stories and whatnot, but he was a man who basically influenced me, not just in writing, but a lot of social commentary as well. And he had just recently passed away. Of course, I'm speaking of the great and renowned writer and satirist and humanist, as he likes to call himself, Kurt Vonnegut. You know, I mean, from his books, from Cat's Cradle to Fahrenheit, and I mean from Slaughterhouse-Five, excuse me, and to Sirens of Tyron, and of course my favorite of his was The Breakfast of Champions. But even so, he his own thing portrayed what I was about to talk about, which is hypocrisy, and what the meaning of hypocrisy. And he showed it within all his books, within our own societal makeup, specifically when it came to our politics, our religion, our social aspects. I mean, I can just, you can just open the news and, my God, I can point out different directions of hypocrisy. You know, and I mean, and I'll just use the line that he, in fact, he was on Jon Stewart, I don't remember, a month ago or a couple of months ago. In fact, it was on the several sites. On blog sites showing it again, and of course it was on yesterday, and they didn't bring up, they showed one clip of it that was sort of cute when he made his, some little comments. But the funniest thing, of course, saying who is the, you know, smartest guy, you know, running the show, I mean the dumbest guy running the show wasn't Bush, it was of course Rumsfeld. That was when Rumsfeld was, of course, you know, Secretary of Defense. But the funniest thing he had said was, you know, how, you know, us, America, the United States of America, presenting democracy and putting it into Iraq. And he made the joke about, whoa, see, the Iraqis got it wrong. If they want to have a democracy like America, you have to start out right. First, you have to have 100 years of slavery. Then you have the Civil War. See, they started too soon. And then, of course, you wait another 50 years after that where you decide, okay, well, now we'll let the woman vote. And then you wait another, let's say, another almost 40 years, you said, well, you know what, we did give some of the people, like the blacks people, the vote. Well, now we'll really try to give them the vote. Oh, and did I leave out genocide? Yeah, that's the other thing they have to do, which they're starting to do. You know, I mean, they're got that game plan, you know, like how we do with the Indians, we sort of just, or Native Americans, we just push them out and, you know, So that's our American form of democracy. I know it took us 200 years to finally get it right. So that's if we want to give our so-called true democracy. It's more like a plutocracy, actually, right now. And if you don't want to know plutocracy, that's where an elite basically runs almost like an oligarchy with usage of those who have the economical power end up having purse strings, which therefore end up controlling the electorate. And likewise, you can see why the Senate, every single senator is a multimillionaire. And, of course, congressmen, you don't see any poor folk in there, or even average folk. So it is a game of economics. In fact, they're even talking about how just even the preliminaries here with the primaries of what's happening in the presidential upcoming race here with between Hillary and Barack on one side with the Democrats and with the rest of the Democrats and the Republicans on the other side with McCain and Giuliani and Romney and all the rest. And how much monies are being played out. So keep that in mind. This is going to be the largest, right now they say, right now it's the largest amount of money raised for their campaigns, millions. So just interesting. But getting pointing out to other areas of hypocrisy, and it just happened to be with this situation with Imus. Now, what he said was extremely gross and grotesque, I believe. There's no ifs, ands, or whats. But what I find it very hypocritical, and I'm saying it, they should stick their feet in their own mouths when they speak, is when Reverend Jesse Jackson talks about Mr. Imus, he should have been fired. And what he should apologize. But God, I remember when Reverend Jackson called New York a bunch of, it's just nothing but a Jaime town, and referring to Jews. And I think maybe he should be kissing some Jewish butt, like he had to have Amos kiss their butt. Is that sort of a hypocritical situation? Shouldn't he be fired from all his little public appearances? Or what about when Mr. Jackson went over to, without even knowing the circumstances or the evidence behind what happened with the lacrosse players who were accused, from the Duke lacrosse players who were accused of rape. And, of course, they were first originally indicted, and then there was removed. Their indictment was removed because, everybody knows it was all pure BS bullshit. And he was one of the jumping on the bandwagon with the accuser without knowing all evidence. And he was lashing out, making it into a racial thing. I think he needs to go to Duke, and not only apologize to those students in Duke, but also to the Duke faculty and the Duke administration and the Duke name, because it was a turmoil. And I can point to other, hypocrisy in the situation when they call for, because I think it is a double standard, when they use the N-word toward blacks, I think there's a double standard, and when a black man says it to a black person, or African American says it to another African American, that's okay. A white person saying it to a black person, of course, is not okay. Isn't that racist? Isn't that hypocritical? Now, I understand if you say it in a sense of joking. It's all in context. But even in context, sometimes that gets ugly. I'll give you an example, like amongst Jews, if I were to tell, using the K word, which is kike, and by the N word, which I only use once now, being a nigger, which are both equivalently the same in a sense, as those, for example, in the German Nazi Germans used to call the Jews the K word, and like the slave owners used to call in the white trash that even today still use the N word. But when those usage of those words are used as like, "Hey, bro, what's happening?" And they go, "Hey, and what's up?" And to the Jew, they'd say, "Hey, K, what's going on?" See, it's all a matter of context. And if comedians like Carlos Mencia make comments as well, again, it's a matter of context. It's a matter of the situation where it's being spoken of. So in that circumstance, I couldn't say that is taken as light side. They're making a joke of the words themselves. They're showing the lightness. They're making fun or pun or whatever within the context. But when it's used in an angry voice to attack, such as Michael Richards had done, that is bad. That was derogatory. That was meanful. And it's just as meanful and hypocritical when it's used in music, in a situation not as being light, but as degrading. When you call that woman that hoe, would you say that to your mother or your sister? You get your ass slapped. So easy to do it on a recording. And that's derogatory. That's meanful. That's sexist. That's misogynistic. And use the N-word to another, another black person, another African American, or about within their own rap. That's bad. I mean, that's not. Your music should be inspiring, not to use it to belittle. Not put back in their own mindset, not return back to the game, having a mind of basically a slave mind, And I had seen that many speakers, leaders, such as Dr. Reverend Sharpton and like Jesse Jackson, who call themselves leaders. And my God, they sure aren't no Malcolm X. They sure aren't Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, those two emphatically try to raise the mentality to bring out from within African Americans' minds, you do not have to have the slave mind. You don't have to think like the slave and walk. Because not just removing the chains, removing the things that compel you to hold you down. It's in your mind. And yet, after 30-some-odd years, I still see within African-American culture that's pushed upon them their own music leaders instead of doing the opposite, instead of giving self-esteem and self-worthiness to go back into that mindset, that slave mentality, I call it, of worrying about the bling-bling and talking about their woman as a whole and talking in very degrading and violent terms instead of an uplifting to stand up for your beliefs, to stand up for what you believe in, to break through the obstacles that are presented before you, to go through those challenges, just as those girls in the Rutgers had done, and that basketball team that strived toward championship. And so that was referring to Imus's comment. It was not only ugly, but surely ignorant as well. So that was just a form of a little bit of hypocrisy. We have hypocrisy in all circumstances. I mean, that was just one real easy one that was just thrown out there in front of my face, like, "Oh my God, look at this." And I think about racism of today. As well as the growing, there's still that plethora of white racism toward not only toward blacks, but toward Jews, to Hispanics, to Asians, which nobody ever talks about the Asian racism, but there surely is. Ask any Asian. So there's still the phenomena in within America. And of course, there's always the reverse racism. Nobody ever talks about that because it's not politically correct. But there is the black, the Farrakhan hatred, the ethnocentric hatred, which is still bringing back to a slave mentality. And the slave mentality I find even amongst Jews as well. There are some Jews who still feel only Jews without feeling mixed. The same mentality, the slave mentality, the hypocrisy amongst Hispanics, there's still that element. You know, when it comes to the issue of the illegal alien situation, where it's turned into a ethnic issue, whether it's Hispanics coming to the border from Mexico illegally. And of course, now that the word is, if you want to be politically correct amongst progressive, it would be undocumented. Come on, it's illegal. They broke the board with law. But isn't it hypocritical to those who actually legally came to the United States to become American citizens? Isn't it hypocritical to our own virtues of our own law? And it's also for ironic and in a sense of hypocrisy when they present the issue of Cesar Chavez, and if out of ignorance they realize Cesar Chavez was almost like Pat Buchanan when it came to illegals. I mean, he was vehemently anti-illegals. Why? He started the United Farm Workers Association. He started the United Farm Workers were. I remember the days when, you know, the voting platforms, the areas where they were trying to vote in his union, which was, like I said, the United Farm Workers, Cesar Chavez, they were trying to attack him, blow apart the facilities. Even I remember my father had to rebuild an area in Delano where one of the facilities had been burnt, where they were going to have a vote and try to push out the vote over, you know, the Teamsters from being in control of the farm workers. But he was vehemently, Cesar Chavez was vehemently anti-illegals. But that's hypocritical. And it's like hypocritical when I see like the Catholic Church all of a sudden jumping on wanting to, being all of a sudden they're humanitarian, they're humanistic, they care about the illegals. Do they? Do they really care about the illegals? Do they care about the illegals so much they care about the Asians coming across into illegally on boats into the United States? Do they care about those people as well? I don't think so. I don't think they even really care about any other constituent of illegals coming to the United States except for, oh yeah, if you're Catholic. That's their interest. Is that really maintaining coming to their virtues of Jesus, of being a true humanitarian, no matter what your situation, who you are, what you are, putting your hand in need? Their interest is solely for, you know, I'll have more people sitting in my chairs at Mass. That's their interest. Since they've been losing so many of their parishioners who, due to their obstruction of justice, of not watching out and protecting the young boys and young girls who put their belief system in the Catholic Church, so much so that they trusted their priests, who end up being molesters. And then instead of turning those molesters into authorities, they obstructed justice and moved him away, trying to cover it up, and then still did not take responsibility. That's hypocritical. And here's another hypocritical thing is, I can't recall his name. I can point over into the other, another religious situation with the Jerry Farwells and the Robert situation and all the, there was a, I can't remember recall his name right now, but they have like a, I guess a basic organization umbrella for amongst evangelistic Christians, and one Christian, this leader, again, I forget his name, I'm sorry, but he came out and proposed about moving their church and their and the other evangelistic churches toward not just zeroing in on the issues of abortion and gays, but over the issue of global warming, helping the poor. I mean, wouldn't that be more the Christian thing to do, too? Right? And guess what they did to him? He was adios. They took it. He was supposed to be a leader and yanked him out. Jerry Farwell didn't like it. Or the Pat Robertson, they didn't like it either. Or any of the other, what they call themselves, conservative Christians. They didn't like that either. They didn't like the issue of protecting the environment, of helping the poor, the main causes for Christianity. Boy, they said they should be back in the Dark Ages with the Crusaders, marching down along, heading toward the Holy Land, and on the way, let's kill a couple of Jews on the way. And while we're at it, when we get to Jerusalem, we'll kill every Jew and Muslim there is within the Holy Land. And then when we got to Jerusalem, that's what they ended up doing. That's the same mentality. Isn't that like sort of hypocritical? Oh, and there's another hypocritical thing I forgot. Ann Coulter. How come she's aired on MSNBC and all these other things when she spews out hatred toward non-Christian, non-white people? Anybody who's not looking like her, talking like her, she degrades and uses the most gross language you've ever heard. Makes Imus's words look like fairy tale, you know, Graham's fairy tales. So there's hypocrisy everywhere. I can go on and on and on and on, and my show will be finished, and I can still keep on talking until the next show. But there's hypocrisy within all fabrics, you know, from people talking about societal issues, and yet they do something different. Religions, you know, I've talked about in past shows consistently, whether the Muslims, the Jews, the Christians, all the hierarchies. I talked about within all the leaders, whether black, Jewish, Christian, white, green, yellow, Mexican. I don't care what you are, there's a lot of hypocrisy within their own leaderships that are happening right now. There's, I'll select few that are very positive. There's a lot of hypocrisy running through the depths. I don't need to name them. Y'all know them. Everybody knows it. You don't want to talk about it. It's not politically correct. And of course, our government, we've been very, very hypocritical. When we go in and somebody whacks us with their bombs and throws a couple airplanes and kills thousands of people, hell, we go into that country and we'll level a sucker. But God forbid we tell a country like little Israel, hold your horses, or another country, hey, you can't go do that like what we did. That's hypocrisy. You can't defend yourself. I'll give you an example. What if the same situation happened, like the Israelis consistently, I'm not going to get into the politics of that, but how they consistently had suicide bombers coming into their country, or little rockets flying from Gaza into their country, or from the other way around, from the Hezbollah from Lebanon, or grabbing one of their soldiers. What would America do? Everybody knows what America would do. We turn. If that happened, let's say, for example, in Mexico. Let's say it came from Ensenada or Tijuana. Well, you know what America would do. That'd be a new parking lot. Because that's the American mentality. We just level the sucker. That's hypocrisy. Double standards. And we tend to have them every element. Like I said, Irreverent Sharpens hypocrites. The Jesse Jackson hypocrites. Those are hypocrites. And there are great, by the way, great, great, great leaders. And I saw them the other day, people speaking out on television amongst African Americans. They have underlying leadership that is growing. And those should be the real leaders. They're not getting the media attention because they don't have the money, and they're not in it for the money like the Sharpens or the Jesse Jacksons. They're pretenders. They're not like the real MLKs or Malcolm X, for who are real for the cause. But I know, and I saw, like I said, I saw a whole lot of great leaders coming up, talking about the real issues. But I can go on and on, like I said, about hypocrisy. It's all around. It never stops. And by the way, I just also want to give my regards to a blogger. And I hardly mentioned a lot of blog sites, but there's a gentleman who has a great site I watch, check out all the time. It's called The News Blog. Steve Gillard has been hospitalized for, I guess, about a month or so. And I just want to wish him my best and hope Jen cares, you know, gives him my regards. He's a great writer, political commentary. And sometimes he uses a lot of satire within his own writing. But it's now the bottom of the hour, and I want to talk about extraterrestrials and, of course, religion. Of course, it's a fundamental thing. I don't know if y'all know, like my book called When the Angels Have Risen. And you can all check that site out, and of course, you can see it on my thing. It's at www.andrewfeder.com. It's AndrewFeder.com. And it's in relation to my book, has a little bit of talking about religion and extraterrestrials. And the reason why I bring this up, because I think there's a very genuine mix between the two. And it came to me when I had, by the way, a recent interview, and it was on a taped interview on a show called Let's Talk Paranormal, which is, by the way, you all should check out, with Tracy Austin Peters, when she was interviewing me over at the Red Rock. And it came into, while we were talking, you know, again, elaborating about my book, about the relationship between extraterrestrials and religion, because it comes down to that, not even just the political form. And she asked, how did you come about that? And that's what I'm coming up with. And I felt there was always a relationship. First of all, recognize, yes, there are extraterrestrials. It'd be naive not to know, to accept it. There's so much now you can actually see that there are UFOs and other beings, and physicists around the world have acknowledged it. NASA has hidden it, but acknowledged it. In fact, I'm going to another, which is I'm going to have a guest on. He's from myufo.com, and he's going to be on my show next month. I'm going to be having an interview. And he has numerous accounts from videotapes from UFOs and whatnot. And like I said, Let's Talk Paranormal has the same. And there's so many shows out there. Jerry Pippen has a little radio show. He interviews one after another. But to visually see it, oh my God, you can really see how things are airbrushed and changed. And then you can see what's really going on. Like I saw a NASA thing where on a space station, and or actually a space shuttle, and these astronauts are outside fixing the outside of their ship, and you can see something fly right behind one, and one of them says, "Hey, did you see that?" And he's on at 10 o'clock, and that guy says, "Yeah, I saw it," and he says, "I guess we better go back to work." It was sort of funny hearing that. They know it. They acknowledge it. So it's there. That's a fact. So what's the existence between these extraterrestrials and religion again? Well, let's think about it. What would happen if you were in the mindset of what happened in major religions way back then? Let's go back to with the Egyptians. Let's go back when the Hebrews, the Sumerians, the Babylonians. Let's go to the cultures of the Mayans. They all have so much similarities, yet they're so far different apart. And look at the math between them all and the languages. And then you read the stories. It's sitting right there in front of us. When you open up the Bible, I mean, you read Elijah. I mean, he's picked up in the whirlwind, and they're scribing the chariots. Why is it, you think that it's just colorized and painted in this flamboyant area that the real ship just picked up, I mean, these little chariots picked up from the sky? This is a way of their description. This is how someone would describe an airplane would have never, or a ship they've never seen, because they couldn't explain it. How could they explain something they have no relationship to? It's like seeing a nomadic people who've never seen an airplane, and then they see an airplane, and, oh my God, a metal bird. Or seeing a car for the first time. A horse that has wheels that spews out smoke from its rear end. These would be some things that would be unusual. So definitely, I believe there's a religious connection. Because I believe that Elijah was picked up by a spaceship. And maybe that's what they talk about when he's coming back again. Remember, there's a old saying that when the messianic era happens, Elijah's supposed to return. I mean, it's said every Seder amongst Jews and during Passover, and even the Christians refer to it, and even the Muslims talk of it. The messianic era of Elijah's return. And then there's the most fundamental connection within the Judeo-Christian is, which to me is point blank, if you read the beginning of Ezekiel, when he looks up and sees the wheels spinning and the many unusual creatures, and he's trying to describe them like people, like they got bodies like humans, but then they got heads like birds or something. Well, he's trying to describe what he's trying to describe an alien. He's seeing these things spinning around and with lights and things. He calls them circles. Well, how can you describe circles and lights that are flashing he's never seen before? So this is like just the within religion, the seeing the actual circumstances, seeing within the scriptures of what that there were ETs, extraterrestrials, and UFOs. I mean, you go into the Mayans, they have the same thing, descriptions of extraterrestrials. And if you go into the Sumerians, the same thing. You go into Egyptian hieroglyphics, they even have talk of the same scenario. So I believe there's a spiritual connection. And one of my spiritual connection is that I'm going to get into is I believe that, now this may sound sort of strange, because on a spiritual basis on my past will, I explained to you that we reincarnate. Our souls constantly reincarnate. So where our souls originate? Well, I believe our souls originate in different areas, different vortexes of areas. For example, there's Earth or originate. And then there might be soul originate from another planetary system or another galaxy, perhaps, another vortex. And then I believe that since we do consistently rebirth, reincarnate, that these things that happen that we're constantly doing, or these new souls that are coming, there's certain new souls that might be like alien souls. And so those souls might feel a little different. Those souls might be psychics, or let's say everybody's psychic, but they're already adapted to it. The great philosophers, great scientists, artists, I mean, even just people who are not even well known because they haven't opened up to their ability that they've already been God-given, because they already have them from because of their original soul matrix. And a lot of those might even feel so strange on this planet Earth that they have to subjugate themselves to medications like drugs in order to cover up those messages that are constantly coming into them. They feel so strange that they have to use substances to order to feel, to separate themselves from this Earth, because they feel separated from the very beginning. They don't feel connected with anything here. They feel totally strange. That's because their souls ain't from here. They're basically alien. So why is this all so important? Why is this relationship between souls and religion and ETs? Because things are happening now, and they've been happening. I believe that there are basically two, like there's a good, like I said in the past, there's light, a path of light and a path of darkness. And the same situation scenario happens with amongst extraterrestrials as well. And like I had explained to just now about the different souls, but there's also been different influences as well. And within a religion where, for example, when Moses or Muhammad or Jesus came to being, and they presented their information within light, I think that's a lot of influence from extraterrestrials of the light. And then on the other side, to twist it, to turn it, to make those statements that these great prophets had spoken, from Eliyahu, Elijah, to Jesus, to Muhammad, to Moses, to Buddha. And I'm talking just the Western, mainly the Western, some of the Eastern, but all of them, Lao Tse Tung, from Taoism, all these thoughts, all these positive enlightening philosophies and fundamentals was from the light side, and I believe influence from extraterrestrials from the light. And then extraterrestrials on the dark turn those, spun it around, and create the hierarchies, the power, the grids that we have today. And you can see it. And those are the extraterrestrials, by the way, you hear about abducting people. And then you hear about being probed and prodded and everything else, and find all kinds of things in them. Because an enlightened extraterrestrial wouldn't need to do that. A species that was so far ahead would not need to subjugate itself to it, to do things like that. And I think that also, look, the mutilation of cows, another example of dark extraterrestrials of the dark, leading to the dark side. And the influences within our own society, within Earth as a whole. And that's why I think things are starting to happen as our society is evolving. And I think, I remember during my interview, Tracy Austin Peters, during my interview, she asked me, well, do you think, why don't the extraterrestrials come down and go, you know, on the light, come down and save us? Well, think about it. Maybe they're like our teachers in some sense. It would be too easy if we never really learn to overcome situations. Then what will we have gained? And I think as enlightened extraterrestrials, the Winos would move up to a circumstance, up to a certain circumstance, and then they would present themselves at the right time, the right situation. And it's happening, basically. And that's why you have the, on the other side, there's a basically like a war games. I hate to say we're like a little, part of the little pawn matrix here. I think there's no pull. The old ways of thinking, the old thoughts, there's a fear pattern that's going amongst, around the world. Look at the fear within society. Look at the fear of holding on. The fear of holding on to the old religious organizations. Look how desperately the Catholic Church is trying to hold on to their peers and subjugate them and say, hey, don't listen, don't read, don't learn. Don't listen, don't read, don't learn. And they'll throw little statements, they'll pull out from the passage with the Bible out of context and tell you people, don't listen, they're, you know, don't watch that. Because they're desperately trying to hold on. And the same thing amongst the Muslims, doing the same thing. And there's a desperate hold on. I'm talking not all Muslims, I'm talking about, of course, the organized religions, the organized hierarchy within Islam amongst the clerics, that they're trying to desperately hold on. So they start that, they continue the hate game, hate the Jew, hate the Christian, hate everybody else, blame everybody else, never taking responsibility like I already talked about before, about spiritual responsibility in my last show. So they're trying to hold on. Something's happening. People are trying to hold on. Economics are trying to hold on. The new world order is trying to hold on. And people out of information age, people are finding out one way or another. They're questioning. They're opening their minds. They're not going to play. They don't want to become another Borg. And a Borg, I'm not talking about the Swedish kind. I'm talking kind of Star Trek kind. Of being a drone, part of the collective. Just do your job and move on. Work 9 to 5. Get your paycheck, pay your bills, buy your car. Do some immediate entertainment to fill your mind. So you don't think about your where you are in this little piece. That entertainment might be sucking down some beer, smoking that bong. Watching a bloody movie, and nothing wrong with a little entertainment or any of that. I'm not saying no, but think about why there's so much of it being pushed down everybody to keep your brain sort of occupied, keep you out of kilts. You're not really looking at who you are and what you are, what you're self-worth. And when it's all finished, and you're like in your 60s, 70s, keep on pushing up the retirement age. Then you look back and, God, there's my life. Well, what did I do? How much have you grown? Think about it. Are you just here to produce kids and eat and crap and have sex and then continue those same cycles over and over and over again, and that's it? Or are you supposed to spiritually evolve, to heal, to grow, to expand your mind, to learn new things, to create greater wisdom, to heal your, not just yourself, but those around you, and overcome obstacles? See, and it isn't interrelated with the extraterrestrial situation. And I believe, like, the religious consciousness, as we open our minds and we see what we really are as a within the universe, we're not separate from the universe, we are part of the universe, we're a speck within the universe, but a big speck, because every speck is big, even the minute speck is big. And once we realize that cause and effect, then I think there's going to be an opening, and I think it's coming to whether you like it or not, because there's a lot of souls that are evolving so fast and opening their minds from a religious consciousness about what things are happening within their physical realm, including extraterrestrials. They're seeing the differences. They're seeing something's not being told. They're questioning. They're questioning their governments, their religious orders. They're questioning the man. There's more to it. Jesus even said, don't live by bread and, you know, alone. So this consciousness, as it expands and opens up, those extraterrestrials know about it. Come on. You don't think they're not connected to know what's up here? That's why there's more sightings. It's consistently going on and on. It used to be just sightings amongst nuclear things happening, because that's when it first started up, because, you know, humanity starts screwing around with the dirty bombs and the dirty things. But that's the involvement. And now that stuff is, you know, they're still involved with that. There's been reports that supposed Foo Fighters were flying over the Iranians' facilities. They shot them down. They're trying to shoot them, thinking that they were Americans. Of course, this was not reported amongst the CNN news, but it was reported in Indian news. And notice how more reports are being more acknowledged amongst extraterrestrials. This is opening up. There's a religious consciousness, a religious situation happening within, like, for example, in Chicago, and the, you know, the first time I ever saw on mainstream news, they acknowledge, hey, here's a group of people saw in a major airport in Chicago seeing a UFO. It came over to them and zipped on by. Now they're finding out more about quantum physics, another religious consciousness changing our way of looking at things. And why I bring up quantum physics, because it's basically, in a way of opening your minds to how things really are. Things aren't just, you see a window and it's a physical window, or you see a chair and it's a chair. It's made up of course, we know molecules and atoms, and it goes on and on, and with energies, and bore you with all that stuff. But we're expanding and using, understanding that knowledge, and it's opening ourselves up. It's getting sort of Star Trek-y. These are like religious consciousness that's upraising within society as a whole. And as that's continuing on, we'll see a continuation of more sightings, more exposures, more contacts, until little layer by layer, like a little onion, society will come to realization, to the very mainstream. It's not kooky or freaky that has been thrown out in a very propagandizing way to subject to people to stifle them about realization of UFOs and extraterrestrials, but it's going to be considered a norm. Yeah, there's extraterrestrials. Yeah, I saw one the other day. Oh, yeah, I saw a UFO. That's going to become some normal. That's going to be a norm. It's going to get such a norm to the extent that's going to, I believe, change the outlook on people and society. We're going to start, it'll have to change from people going, looking at each other, whether you're black or white, green, yellow, Jew, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, or other, that you're human. And that we're not by ourselves. And if you don't believe in him, you all go to hell. And if you don't believe in my way, you're off the highway. People are going to come to realize we're all in the same matrix. We're all part of the same system. And that's the religious aspect of extraterrestrials. We're going to actually find that, you know, there are people better than us Americans. We don't have to play the ugly American no more, the arrogant American who tries to push our form of democracy. Of course, a true democracy, if they had ever, is not simply going out there and voting. You have to have that backup thing that's within the democracy called Bill of Rights, or some kind of rights that protect the minority. You know, that's part of voting. Because otherwise you can just vote in a Hitler. Hitler was voted in, the Nazi Party voted in Germany with the Nazi, in democratic vote, in a parliamentary system. Just like in right now in the Palestinian territories, they voted in Hamas, who are no different and have the same rhetoric as the Nazi Germany. Let's kill the Jew. There's the same vote that happens in happened amongst in Iraq, where the Shiites are now wanting to start their genocide of Sunnis, like what we Americans did to the Native Americans. So it's ongoing. That's not a democracy. They have to have minority rights, backups, protections. But all these things that are happening right now, I think there's a relation to extraterrestrial situation. And you can just imagine if you were a society totally advanced, where there you don't have an economic system where you have to, there's actually money or currency, rich or poor or medium. They're just a class. Everybody just basically, their goal in life is to evolve for each individual and a society as a whole. That their form of energy is free, because energy is free, is all abound amongst us. That's why if you're reading in quantum physics, it's abundant. It's everywhere. Cause you don't lose energy. Energy is always conserved. It's always converted. It's all economics right now. That's why we use gas. We use a very barbarian style of energy. When we do have the ability to produce energy, and you actually not produce energy, but facilitate utilizing energy that is free, but there's no economical growth from it, that you would not be able to plug your little holes in your car and pour in some gas, because it will be economically free because it's out there. It almost will be like so futuristic, like back in the future too, where they're sticking, I remember what's his name, was sticking garbage in his fusion container, and psh, there's his energy. That's how it is. That's real energy. That's when we do have that ability. They're lying about presenting it. But just look at society of the extraterrestrials out there. They would have that. And they're looking, God, look at all these barbarians. Look at this. Oh, my God. What the hell are they doing? They're still at it. They keep on flying by and seeing if we're getting a little bit better. You don't think we're being watched and observed? We're like the Truman Show, folks. That's right. We're the Truman Show. Everybody's watching. They're sitting back in their theaters and they're in their little television sitting there watching the Truman Show. Hey, let's click on here. Hey, let's watch. Yeah, why don't we watch something bad? Well, here they are, cloning each other, and my land is better than your land, or my God's better than your God. Okay, let's turn the channel up. Oh, God, they're stealing money from one to another. What's money? Oh, yeah, the thing we used to use 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. We used to have that thing called money. Click, here's another one. Hey, you want to check this out? Same thing. They have this guy telling you who they think God really is. Click, no, my God is better than your God. Click. Let's hate them because they believe in a lesser God than we believe. Click. See, they can just keep on turning because we're the Truman Show. But we're involved. There's a religious synopsis between extraterrestrials. It's going to happen. It's happening. You watch every day more and more and more sightings, more and more contacts. And to you, one day, you'll be shocked. And then you'll be scared to go, you know what, I just saw this. And unless you look to your friend, hey, did you see that? Or did I see that? And sometimes we can't even see it because, when you, by the way, you look at a UFO, you got to realize if they're flying past the speed of light, beyond the speed of light, your naked eye cannot see past the speed of light. You'd have to have a camera looking at ultraviolet, because that's another step beyond the speed of light. Because you cannot travel from one vortex, a spatial phenomenon, to another without breaking the rules, going through wormholes, breaking through time. So when you see, like, when they see a UFO, it's sort of like see it, and it blows up and disappears, because now they're going through another spatial time zone, another element that's sort of like very quantum. But this is happening. We're really going through a religious consciousness that's going to change and is slowly evolving amongst our relation to extraterrestrials. And by the way, I just want to, in my opening, I forgot, want to say thanks to all of you for listening to my whole spiel until now. And we'll listen to into the future. And also want to thank BBS Radio for producing my show. And I just want to let you all know, I'm having actually a special guest on mic in 2 weeks on my next show. His name is Samson. He's a hip-hop artist. I was hoping to have put up some music, but couldn't get up his music in time for this show. But hopefully it will be on the archive. I'll present one of his songs. In fact, one of his songs actually is the name of his debuting album. It's called Since Birth. And he's quite big here on the West Coast and in Las Vegas. So I'm looking forward to that. Because there's like a new generation of hip-hop artists that are out there that are utilizing their music and giving a self-worthiness, a self-status, an uplifting. And I'm looking forward to that interview. And like I said, this is what's happening. Going back to what I was talking about with extraterrestrials and religion. You know, I mentioned within my book a lot of scenarios where I just spoke about. In fact, this my character in my book is where this individual gets picked up by an alien ship, and then this alien, Yeshua, starts showing how, you know, Moses, you know, parting the sea, and there's an alien ship that literally, two alien ships actually help open the sea up. Or the pillar of light that comes down that stops the Egyptians going after, you know, the Hebrews, or Jesus, when, you know, from this supposed resurrection, where he actually was like trying to beam him up, and he kept on moving around, or, you know, they all have a healing ability. That's not like no extraterrestrial influence, but walking on water. Could it be a hologram? Or could it be producing fish in such a magnitude? Could it be just replication, a simple cloning method? You don't think that was possible? I'm not saying that miracles of extraterrestrial was not religious bound, because they themselves are bound. You know, they listen to their own guides, their angelic guides, their Gabriels, their Raphaels. They listen to their own guides in the angelic realms, and their influence, their situation. And that's what I mentioned in my book, When the Angels Have Risen. You know, it's, when's it going to finally happen? When's this stuff out? And there's a little comment here, well, that's when the angels have risen. Meaning that's the air. That's a new awakening. Because we're not coming to an air of the end of the world as we know it, but the beginning of the world which we look forward to see. This is going to be new beginnings, not new endings. We're amongst the beginnings. And new consciousnesses are slowly evolving. It's not a coincidence that there's an internet, or there's Bush internets, that's spreading information, crossing boundaries. Even like areas like Iran, the Iranians are reading. Even the Chinese are trying to put a wall so that amongst Chinese within, they can't go out and find the true information that's out there. And of course, on the information, there's always a positive and a negative out there. Yeah, you got your haters. You know, you got your, you know, I hate the Jew, I hate the black, skinhead crap. And you got the same thing, you know. You know, let's wipe them out. Let's do whatever, turn them into the Ann Coulters out there. Put a damn Disneyland in the middle of Mecca. You got those, too. And then there's always the enlightened ones like this show on BBS Radio, it's no coincidence, being on the internet and all the other radio shows and blogs, putting out information, giving people a choice to look and read and find out the truth. Not being subjugated to the mass media because they're breaking barriers. Those are being broken down. Isn't it not coincidence that's already happening? This is going to continue and continue. So with that, just look out your window. You may just see a UFO. Maybe one day you'll see a person that you think is a human and he's really an extraterrestrial. You never know. And you might want to look over your shoulder to your friend. Did you see that? Or I saw that? God, we need to have people in our own mentality to acknowledge that we're not crazy, that what we just saw. It's not a hallucination. It's not something non-reality. But there is a religious consciousness that's changing. And, of course, on the other side, they're trying to hold on for dear life. I wouldn't blame them, but you know what? Hey, when people are starting to see that the ocean is ocean and the sea is a sea and the earth is the earth, and people know that how many times can I run into a wall and get the same thing over and over again? For thousands of years, they've evolved. People are evolving. So with that, again, I want to thank everybody who have, y'all have been listening to my show and into future shows. And again, please do check out my website, www.andrewfetter.com. It has a brief about my bio as well as a little talk about my book, which is a lot what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell y'all, my birthday is tomorrow, so happy birthday to me. That sounds a little egotistical. Well, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to me. No. Anyway, I want to thank you all. And my blessings go out to the families and relatives to Kurt Vonnegut, and as well as to the family of Steve Gillard. Hope he gets well. And with that, peace and love. And God bless you all. Thank you.